Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. My husband sends his love. He would be no other place on a Sunday but here. This is his favorite place to be. But he's actually helping out one of the coaches that he actually, or sorry, one of the guys that he helped to coach to become a church planter. He's actually helping him this morning and doing the services for him because he and his family had not had any Sundays off or even a family vacation since they actually launched their church. So he's doing the awesome thing of helping out another pastor this morning. So he sends his love. He will be here next week, and he is looking forward to seeing all of you again. Before we get into the message, I want to take just a minute and welcome everybody that is listening online or watching video now, because we have the videos that are going to be available each and every week going forward. So let's welcome all of them. Awesome. Power of technology. Pretty cool. So we are in part three of our series, I Want to Believe But. And this series really is helping to cover some of the hurdles, some of the ways that someone can be frustrated or having a hard time in believing in a God that they can't see. And so there's various different things that can kind of cause us to not want to believe or not be able to put our trust in God. And so we want to kind of talk about that through this series. You've heard Pastor Kyle say the last couple weeks that when someone is rejecting God, they're actually not rejecting who he actually is. They're rejecting who they perceive him to be. And so we want to make a clear comparison on what we think he is and who he actually is. And that's really what this whole series is about. So part one, 2 weeks ago, was on demand God. And that is the thought or the notion that God's just going to do whatever I want whenever I want him to do it. And that God doesn't exist. That's not how God works. Last week was Killjoy God, and the whole thought behind that is that God just has too many rules in order for me to follow him. I can't follow all those rules. He just wants to take all the fun out of life. And so I can't follow this guy that you say that I should follow. But that God also doesn't exist. That's not who he is. Next week is going to be really important that you are here. And I think that even after I say what this is, you're probably going to think of someone that maybe needs to be here next week. Next week's title is Heartless God. I want to believe, but God just seems heartless. How can he allow such awful things to happen in this world? How can he allow such natural disasters that tear people's lives apart? How can he allow people to go into a place and hurt large groups of people? Why do awful things happen? I can't believe in a God that would allow these things to happen. And so we're going to cover that hurdle next week. Pastor Kyle has already been preparing that message, and so it's going to be really good. Make sure you're here, and make sure you bring whoever it was that popped in your mind that's maybe had that question or had that thought. Make sure that you get them here next week. This week is Goosebumps God. And so I'm going to be talking, give you a little more understanding about what that means. But before we get into it, I want to give you the theme scripture for this series. And that is Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. It says here, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So we all see differently according to our experiences. Things that have happened to us or choices that we have made. We see God through a certain lens. And so we want to kind of eliminate all of the wrong thoughts and point you to Jesus, but help you to know and understand who he is. And then it goes on to say, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So Goosebumps God. This is really the thought that I want to feel God, but I don't feel anything. I don't know what it means to feel God's presence. I don't understand what that means. Or maybe you think that you've felt God's presence, but you're not quite sure. Or you want to feel God's presence, and yet you feel nothing. Maybe you're like the little bumper video that was up there where the person's saying, you know, everybody else seems to be experiencing something that I'm not experiencing. So I want to feel God, but I don't feel him. Maybe you sat here this morning, or you've sat in this room another time, and you've looked around and you've thought, other people seem to be experiencing something. What am I missing? How they just seem to be, you see them crying, you see their arms raised, and you're thinking, what is it that they are feeling? What is it that they are sensing? Maybe you are walking through a really difficult season, maybe the most difficult season in your life, and you feel numb on the inside. You can't feel anything, and you desperately want and need God's presence. Maybe you felt it before, and you just feel like there's nothing right now. This is exactly the message that you need to hear today. Maybe you talk to others, and it's kind of like they feel God in everything. And, you know, maybe it's somebody at your small group or a coworker at work, and it's like that person, they just see God and experience God's presence in everything. And they tell you all these stories about how, you know, they were driving in their car and they heard this song, and the song that was playing then later in their prayer time, it just confirmed what God spoke to them through that song. And they've been praying so hard for their husband to get that job promotion that he needed. And they prayed and prayed, and he got that job promotion, and it was even better than they thought. And their kid got accepted to Ivy League college, and everything is just working out for them. They pray all the time for the health of their family and their family. Then they never get sick. Like, they are always healthy, and they just feel and sense God's presence in everything. And you're sitting there listening to them thinking, I don't feel God in anything. I drive to work and I'm just like, what is happening? Then you get to work and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what is going on in my life. I don't feel God in anything. Your kid got rejected from the community college. Your kids have the flu every other week. And you're like, God, where are you? I don't feel you in anything. And I know that's a little bit sarcastic, but we can get that mindset. We're like, how do they feel God in everything? They sense his presence in everything they say and do, and I feel nothing. Meanwhile, you're just numb and you're frustrated. So where is God? Why can't I feel him? So just for fun, there's no right or wrong answer to this. How many of you would say that you have felt God's presence at some point in your life? How many of you would say that you felt God's presence today during worship? So if you didn't raise your hand, or you didn't feel God's presence today during worship, or at some point in your life, it's okay, I'm not trying to single you out. But if you say you did, how did you know? You don't have to answer me back audibly, but I want to challenge you in this. I want to push on you a little bit. How did you know that you felt God's presence? If I were to ask you, was it goosebumps? Was it butterflies? Was it the overwhelming feeling and you just can't help but cry? Was it peace? Peace that you've never experienced before? What was it that caused you to know that that was God's presence? There are a lot of things, this is why I want to push on you a little, because there's a lot of things that can give us that tingly feeling, that can give us the goosebump or the butterfly. I don't know about you, but there's like certain commercials, specifically like Hallmark commercials. The Hallmark commercials get me every time. I get the crying after my mother. It's all her fault. She's here, so I have to give her a hard time. But you just watch these commercials, and it's like Sally, she just has this heart of compassion, and she looks across the street, and she sees her friend or her neighbor, you know, that she seems to be lonely. She doesn't have anybody. I'm assuming she's probably a widow. That's what I get from it. She's lonely. She doesn't have anybody. And so Sally thinks, I've got a great idea. I'm going to go to Hallmark. I'm going to get her a card. And she goes and she presents this card to her neighbor across the street. And her neighbor welds up in tears, gives her a big hug. And then they're both hugging there on her doorstep. And every time it gets me. Does that mean that I felt God's presence in that? Maybe. If you're watching a YouTube video and it's like, you know, somebody's life has changed and it's gotten you to that point of emotion where you're welding up in tears, you got that goosebump or that butterfly, does it mean that you felt God's presence in that? I don't know, maybe. I'm not saying that it's not, but I think those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. What is it? How do we know that it's his presence? I know it's a little bit sarcastic, but seriously, how do we know? So let me ask you this. If you didn't feel God's presence in worship today, is it your fault? Is it your fault? Is it God's fault? Do you have the thoughts of, well, maybe I just must have a bad attitude and God's up in heaven saying, till they get their attitude right, I'm not going to show them my presence? Those are the thoughts we have. We think that we don't deserve it, or that we're not doing something enough in order to be worthy of his presence. Is it Pastor Cody's fault because he didn't play your favorite song during worship today and you're really hoping that he played your favorite worship song today? Whose fault is it? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. I just want to challenge you a little bit. I'm not trying to call you out, but I want you to ask yourself these questions. How do you know? But let me say this. The presence of God is much bigger than our feelings. He can show his presence in those ways that we've kind of laughed at a little bit. He can show his presence that way, but that's not the only way that he shows his presence. And in your notes there, if you don't always feel God's presence, you're not alone. I myself have been in seasons of life where I haven't felt God's presence. There are plenty of people in the Bible throughout Scripture that go through those seasons where they don't feel God's presence. And that's a little bit what I want to share with you today. So the first one we're going to look at is David. And if you know anything about David, this is a guy, he had like a lot of issues. If you read through, Psalms is a really long book in the Bible, lots and lots of chapters, but it's a wonderful book in the Bible. It's one of my favorites to read. So I encourage you, if you don't know a lot about David, get into the book of Psalms. But in Psalms 88, you can hear David's frustration. He is super frustrated at this point. And he, in verse 13 through 14, says, "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" So he's saying, I need you. I want to feel you, but I'm not feeling anything. Now, this is David who, if you learn a little bit about David, he's referred to as a man after God's own heart. So like a name like that, you think he's got to know and understand God's presence. And yet he himself experienced times where he didn't feel God. He was no stranger to God's presence. He absolutely knew it. But in Psalms 23, so a few chapters before this, David, if you read through Psalms, it's kind of like his life is just on this up and down thing where he's like one minute, he's like, God, I feel your presence and everything. You're awesome and amazing. You do all these things for me. And then the next minute he's like, God, where are you? You've rejected me. You're not even letting me feel your presence. So in Psalm 23, this is one of the most popular Psalms where David actually says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. So 23, he's like, God, you're here. You're here in my presence. You are with me no matter what I face. And then in 88, he's backflopped and he's going, where are you, God? I feel like you've hidden your face from me. I can't even see you or feel you. So even David, even in those hardest moments, he himself was crying out, asking God, where are you? The most wonderful, the greatest example that we have is Jesus himself. Jesus, even this is a man who was God's son. He had the most intimate, close relationship that any of us could ever imagine. Always walked with God. Every day of his life walked with God. And yet as he's dying on a cross for all of us, for our sins, he himself experiences a moment where he doesn't feel God's presence. And as his arms are stretched out wide, he cries out to God and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus had times when he didn't feel God's presence. This is God's son himself. And that's the wonderful thing about a relationship with Jesus is that no matter what we face, he has already walked through it. Even not feeling God's presence at times, no matter what it is, anything that we could possibly imagine, God has already walked through it and can understand and can empathize and sympathize with those frustrations in our lives. So even Jesus crying out saying, where are you? I can't feel you. If you don't always feel God, you're not alone. There are plenty of us in this room who would probably be honest enough to tell you there are times we haven't felt God's presence. But there could be some things that are holding us back from feeling God's presence. Things that we're doing to ourselves or in our heart or in life that are causing us to not be able to feel God's presence. And so that's really what I want to get into today. So number one in your notes, why don't we always feel God? Maybe you're over-sensationalizing it. Maybe, just maybe, you're doing like the disciples did in John chapter 6, verse 30. They say, they're talking to Jesus here. They're saying to Jesus, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? So they're saying, if you want us to believe, you need to show us. What work do you perform? They're asking him to give them a big old sign out of heaven, something clear and concise. And all the analytical people are going, yeah, that's me. I just want something clear and concise. Then they refer back to what their fathers, their ancestors experienced. And they're saying, our fathers ate manna out of heaven in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. So they're saying, this is what other people experienced. We need the same thing. You need to show us something that or better, at least one or the other. Give us something to show that it's you. We need to know that it's your presence. Some of you are looking and over-sensationalizing things. You're looking for something that maybe doesn't exist, or you're looking for God's presence to be shown to you because that's how someone else has experienced God's presence. Or maybe you're dating a guy and you heard Pastor Kyle's message 2 weeks ago where he was talking about that God might have a business class guy and you're dating the economy class guy, and you're like, I kind of want to be on the right flight here, so I just need an angel to tell me, like, that is the economy guy. I got a business class guy for you. If you're here 2 weeks ago, you get that. If you weren't, then you got to go listen to the message. Totally, totally good. But maybe you are. You're listening for some big booming voice out of heaven that's going to make the way clear. You're waiting for an angel to come and appear and show you, this is the path you should take. You should not take this job. You should take this job. And you're maybe looking for some type of over-sensationalized experience that maybe just isn't how God's going to show you. I have personally stood in a room with a lot of people this many, many years ago, where this is a room full of people who obviously love Jesus. These were Christ followers, obviously love the Lord. And I'm looking around and I'm watching all these people who seem to be having this over-sensationalized experience. And I'm left there standing there watching all these people thinking, what am I missing? Like, I know I love God, but why are they experiencing and feeling something that I'm not? And so what I realized is that I was looking for God to show his presence to me like someone else was experiencing. And if we do that, it can leave us feeling frustrated. It can leave us wanting something that maybe isn't there. Because here's the reality, that if you don't feel anything, that doesn't mean that God's not there. But also, if you always felt God's presence, you wouldn't need faith. And the Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there has to be some element of faith in here, that we have to be able to say, God, I trust you. Even when I can't feel you, even when I don't know that I feel that presence, I know that you are there no matter what, that your presence is always with me. So maybe you're looking for something that isn't necessarily there because God's presence is always with you. He doesn't need to show you some sensationalized feeling in order for you to know his presence is always with you. Here's the other thing, is that maybe your heart has hardened. Maybe, just maybe, your heart has hardened. Matthew 13, 14 through 15, Jesus is talking here and he says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend, for the hearts of the people are hardened and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, for their eyes cannot see and their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So perhaps you were close to God at one point in your life, but your heart has hardened. Or perhaps you don't know anything about God, and so you need to know more about him, but you're not really sure how to allow yourself to be soft to what it is that he has for you. The number one thing in our lives that can separate us from God is sin. Sin is anything that goes against what God says, what his word says. Sin breaks our intimacy with God. So if you're a Christ follower and you sin, does that mean that God doesn't love you? No, absolutely not. He loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally means there's no condition to the love. He loves you no matter what. But sin breaks our intimacy with God. Think of it like this, a husband and wife, they're married. One or the other commits adultery. Are they still married? Yes, they're still married. That marriage still exists, but the trust and the intimacy has been broken. Now there's a hindrance between the two of them because sin has come into the marriage and has broken that trust. It's the same way with kids. If your child lies to you, disobeys, does something wrong, you still love them because you love them no matter what, even though sometimes you want to hurt them. You still love them. Let's be honest. You still love them, but now the trust has been broken. There's some amount of a change in the relationship. You might have to redraw some boundaries. So that relationship has changed. There's an analogy that I heard that I think is so good for what sin does, unchecked sin. I'm not talking about like you just kind of messed up. I'm talking about like you willfully keep sinning, like you know it's wrong and you just keep doing it. That's the kind of sin that I'm talking about because we all mess up every day. We probably sin every day, but we have to be okay with saying, all right, God, help me to grow in that area. But this analogy talked about like if it's cold outside, which it's fastly approaching and I've been freezing all morning, I'm not real happy about it, but if you walk outside, it's freezing cold. But before you go out, you put on like your nice warm wool socks. You've got the thickest boot that you could possibly find, super warm, super insulated. You put on your snow pants. You've got the full body long john on. You've got your nice thick winter coat. You've got your wool gloves to keep your little hands warm. You've got your hat on and your earmuffs, and you got that ski mask on, and you walk outside. Are you cold? No, but it's still cold outside, but you've insulated yourself. And it's the same thing with sin. We insulate ourselves from being able to feel God's presence because we've allowed sin to block that presence because now trust, intimacy is broken. If we want to have a close, intimate relationship with God, we have to make sure that we've not allowed sin to take hold in our lives. So what could be sin? Sin can be a various number of things, but we kind of tend to rank them on a level. We have like this imaginary sin thing that like tells us like there's bad sin because all sin's bad, right? Then there's like really, really bad sin, and then there's, or I'm sorry, really bad sin, and then really, really bad sin. And you think, well, as long as I'm not doing the really, really bad sin, then I think I'm okay. But no, sin is sin across the board. God doesn't give any rankings to sin and say, this is okay, this one you really shouldn't do, but this one, no, definitely don't do that. No, across the board. And sin can be various number of things. It could be pride. It could be envy. Maybe you get on social media or you are envious of somebody at your job or maybe a family member. It could be that you have a problem with lust. It could be that you have a problem with overeating. It could be laziness. There's a lot of different ways that sin can be shown in our lives, and that's not to make you feel bad, but that's to encourage you to go to God and say, Lord, help me be more like you, because the closer we become, or the closer we come to him, the more like him we're going to become, and that's what all of us want. So I urge you, don't ignore the sin, because it absolutely can hinder you from being able to feel and experience God's presence. I was reading in my Bible. I got this new Bible a couple months ago, and it's got like devotionals that are in it, which I love, think it's super cool. But in the one devotional, the gal that wrote this said that she was meeting with her mentor, and her mentor challenged her for 2 weeks to pray and ask God to show her what the two biggest areas of sin in her life were, and that her mentor was gonna do the same thing. And so after that 2 weeks, she comes back and she said, I could not believe what came from just that simple prayer. God, show me those two areas. And she said, I thought that I was good. I thought I was in a good place. And she said, I didn't realize how ugly my sin was. And so we all have to do that. We have to take regular inventory and ask God to show us if there's any areas that don't line up with what he says that our life should look like. So it could be that your heart has become hardened. It could be that you've insulated yourself with sin, that hardened heart, and now you can't feel God's presence. So David, again, in Psalms 51, this is where David, he takes an inventory, and he searches his heart, because like I said earlier, this is David who, I mean, he messed up a lot. He had a lot of shortcomings, yet he's known as a man after God's own heart. So that gives us all hope that we can still be a man or woman after God's own heart. In Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12, he says, this is one of the most well-known as well. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and give me a willing spirit to sustain me." So he's saying, God, I realize I've messed up. I got some areas within me that I need you to clean up. I need you to help me to have a clean heart. I need you to remind me of what it means to have that relationship with you, to be more like you. And he's crying out to God, asking him to help him. And we have to do the same thing on a regular basis. Take an examination of ourselves, being willing to look in the mirror and say, all right, what are the areas, God? Help me to grow. I don't want sin to harden my heart. I don't want to get to the place where that sin has kept me from being able to feel your presence. Here's the other thing is that, number three, maybe God wants to draw you closer. Maybe you know, like, no, I'm not perfect, but I know I'm not willfully sinning in any area. I know that I'm not over-sensationalizing it. I know that there's not other things that could be holding me back. Well, maybe God wants to draw you closer. Maybe he wants you to come out and seek after him. I love watching survival shows. I think they're very intriguing, partly because there's no way on earth I could ever do what those people do, let alone make a fire. There's no way. I need like fire starters and a lighter. I went camping, but that's about it. So I know I could never do it, but I find it so interesting that sometimes they leave these people without food, drink. They leave them completely without anything just to survive. So when they're thirsty and they're hungry, they should go looking for a drink. They should go looking for food. And yet sometimes those people in those shows will just kind of sit in the hut and they wait for something to happen. They wait for maybe their partner to go looking for the food or the substance. They sit there and do nothing. And yet then there's some who get the wherewithal within them that says, I'm going to get it no matter what. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'm going to expend energy to go out and get that food or drink. And so they go after it. And it's amazing to me that that's really the same thing that a lot of times we do in our relationship with God, that we wait and allow others to go get the food for us. Maybe you're just going to church on a Sunday. Maybe you're going to small groups and church on Sunday, which is awesome, and I encourage you to keep doing it. But are you getting other substance from God throughout the week? Or is it just twice a week? Because you can't live healthy on just two times a week that you're being fed with food, and it's the same thing spiritually. So we have to be willing to go out and get the food. If you're thirsty, you need a drink. If you're dying spiritually, if you are frustrated, go out and seek after God. Seek more of him. Go out and find it. So what if God is calling you to do just that? What if you feel like you're dying spiritually, you feel like that you need spiritual nourishment, and rather than waiting for somebody else to come feed you, you go get it yourself. You go get in your Bible, you go turn on that worship music, and you listen, and you allow God to make you more like him. That's what we all have to do. That's called self-feeding. And it's the same concept of as like a baby. If you allow yourself to stay as an infant where somebody's always giving you that bottle, feeding you, then you're gonna stay as an infant, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But if you feed yourself, you're gonna grow. You're gonna continue to grow and be more like God if you just get in his word and you do what he is encouraging you to do. Proverbs 8:17 tells us that I love those who love me and those who seek me will find me. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And for many years, especially when I was very young in my relationship with God, I actually had that posted in my room because I wanted a constant reminder that if I wanted more of God, it was up to me. If I wanted to draw closer to him, if I wanted to experience his presence, it was up to me. And so that's the challenge that I want to issue each and every one of you is to get in the word, to go and spend time with maybe somebody from your small group outside a small group and talk about the things of God. Talk about the things that you know that God is encouraging you to grow in, maybe areas that he's telling you, you got to stop. You got to stop allowing sin to take hold of you and really go deeper in your relationship with God. Some of us are just waiting, but you've got to get out there and seek him. You got to get out there and do something. What if God is bringing you to a place that he just wants you to be desperate for him? He wants you to get out of this place where you're just complacent in your relationship with him, and he's saying, I'm waiting for you to just come spend time in my presence. Relationships are a two-way street. If we want intimate relationships with others or with God, it's a two-way street. We have to put in the effort. We can't just wait for others or God to just come and give his presence to us. We have to go after it. We have to pursue it. So do that. I encourage you to do that. Just because God feels silent doesn't mean that he is absent. So sometimes we go through those seasons. Maybe it's one of these three things. Maybe it's just something else in life. Maybe God's just trying to teach you something in this season. But God's presence is not absent. He is always, always with us, whether or not we can feel him. His presence isn't determined by an emotion. It's not determined by a feeling. He is always with us. And you can feel God's presence anywhere, anytime. Maybe you've never experienced God's presence and you want desperately to know what that feels like, because it's a wonderful thing, you guys. It is wonderful. Ask him to show you. Go seek after him. Ask him to help you to have just a longing for him, wanting to be in his presence, to desire that deeper relationship with him. And if you do feel the goosebumps, the butterflies, if you feel that peace, if you hear that whisper in your prayer time, embrace it. That's not wrong. That's awesome. God absolutely can show you his presence in that. But if you don't, it's okay. Don't feel bad about it. Just continue to seek after him, because when you seek him, you will find him. That's what his promise is to us. So don't give up. Just keep pushing. Keep going to him. Keep searching for more of him. When you have the opportunity to pray with a coworker at work, God's presence is there. When you hold that miracle baby that you've been praying for, his presence is there. When your marriage has become healthier than it's ever been before, his presence is there. When you are driving in the car and you see that beautiful sunrise, acknowledge him. His presence is there, and we have to learn to acknowledge him. Even when we don't feel his presence, acknowledge him. And the more that you do that, it's going to teach even your spirit that he's there. He's there no matter what. No matter what happens around us, his presence is always, always with us. So maybe you felt God's presence today during worship. Maybe you were one of those that raised your hand. If you weren't, it's okay. I don't want you to feel bad about that. I just want you to just seek more after God. Ask him, are there any of these true for you? Any of these things that we've talked about today, are any of these valid for you? And if so, do something about it. Don't just allow it to stay. Don't just stay where you're at. Grow. Continue to grow in your relationship with him. And either way, I can promise you that he's there. He's with you no matter what. And he loves you so much and wants the very best for your life if we just seek after him. So I encourage you to do that. I want to take a minute here to pray for all of you, though. If you would, just bow your heads with me. I want to pray that God would help each of us to live a life of great faith in him, that we would take steps to recognize his presence even throughout this week as we go on with the day and our week. But first, I want to pray for those who maybe haven't put their trust in him. Maybe you've walked away from God, or maybe through some things, there's been some pain in your life. There's been circumstances that have left you believing that God isn't real, or that he certainly couldn't love you even if he was. Listen to me, if there's nothing else that you hear today that I say, hear this: God loves you. He loves you passionately, more than you could ever imagine, and he wants a wonderful relationship with you and has a fantastic plan for your life if you will just trust in him, if you would put your faith in him today. I'd love to help you take that step. I want to ask you to ask yourself, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Do you trust him with your life? Do you have a relationship with him? And if not, then I want to help you take that step today. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that's going to embarrass you in front of your friends or your family. I just want to take a moment and connect you with Jesus, because it's through him that life change happens. It's through him that we receive salvation, where we can know that we know that that relationship with him is going to last us through eternity. So I'm going to ask you for one thing, though, because this is between you and God, but I'm going to ask you for one thing, that at the count of three, that if you say that's you, that you know you need a relationship with Jesus, maybe you've walked away, maybe you've been far off from him, and you need that relationship with Jesus, you need to put your full trust and faith in him, then at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And that's just signaling to me that when we pray, that you want me to include you in this prayer. So if you would do that, one, two, three. That's awesome, you guys. It's a bold, bold step. Now I want to pray for each and every one of you. And I want you to say this prayer with me. You don't have to say it word for word. It's not just some formula. But say something like this and mean it with your whole heart. That's the key. So pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. I give my whole life to you. Forgive me for living my way. Come and change my heart, God. Make me brand new. Fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice, that we would take what we've heard today and apply it, that we would do an inventory within our hearts and ask God to show us, are there any areas that are not healthy? Are there any areas that I need to grow in? Are there things that are hindering me from your presence? Do you want to draw me closer to you? God, I just speak over each and every person that you would give them the life that they need, that you would help them to walk in the faith and trust in you that they need, that we would take steps even this week to learn to recognize your presence in every area of our lives. And God, I thank you ahead of time for what you're gonna do even throughout this week, even the next few weeks, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.